It's the Agribusiness Report. Special guest today, Kevin Kim, Chief Growth Officer for OCP North America. We're going to break down the countervailing duties on phosphorus from Morocco. That coming up in just a moment. BJ Johnson is CEO of Clear Flame Engine Technologies. On sustainability.
The agriculture community has done such an outstanding job for years leading the way on sustainability, often in a way that goes unnoticed. But now that sustainability is really kind of not just a national but a global priority, I think the sector is able to stand up and lead and say, hey, we know how to do this. We have been competing not just on economics but on environmental merits for a really long time. And we can help meet our mid-century climate goals. And in fact, if we're not here contributing that, there's not a realistic pathway to get there. That synergy and what the agriculture community offers is absolutely required in the fight against climate change.
This is the Agribusiness Report. I'm Tony St. James. We're joined today by Kevin Kim. Kevin is Chief Growth Officer for OCP North America. He's in Minnesota. Kevin, welcome to the show.
Thank you, Tony.
Hey, so let's start with a little background about you. Who is Kevin Kim, and how'd you end up with OCP? Did you grow up in ag?
Yes, I did, Tony. I actually was born and raised on a family farming operation, corn and soybeans, in eastern Iowa, and that operation is still in place. So farmers are near and dear to my heart, and I've been in the ag sector through my entire career. So I've been in the active ingredient chemical sector, seed genetics, as well as crop nutrition. And I joined OCP in 2019 here in the United States.
Well, maybe that's a good segue into OCP. That's probably, well, it may be a name we're not familiar with, but more than likely we are familiar with what OCP does. Am I correct there?
Yes. OCP is based out of Morocco and is one of the world's largest finished phosphate producers globally. Has the blessing to have the highest reserves globally of high-quality ore that is utilized in phosphate production. OCP has been in the business for almost up to 100 years, and more importantly, sells and markets products in over five continents of the highest quality phosphates for farmers' fields to help them produce a more increased yield product.
Well, whether we're talking about producers in Minnesota or back home on the farm in Iowa, or even as we go out west to California, we're finding high input prices right now. And the fact that you've got that background knowledge of the family farm, what's really driving the input prices higher at this point?
You know, Tony, the input prices, you know, across the board have been impacted by, you know, some difficulties with supply chain in regards to reliable supply of finished production products. It has really created a bit of that surge. Fortunately for the farmer today, which is, you know, the U.S. farmer is one of the most productive farmers globally, and commodity prices are high, up to $8 corn, up to $17 soybeans. But importantly, they need to manage those input costs so that they can make that right return on investment per acre.
I want to take us down a road now, and I've got a little bit of knowledge, but only enough to be dangerous here. So I'm going to ask you to help me out. Countervailing duties on phosphorus from Morocco. Can you give us more of what's happening and what that story is about?
You know, I'd be happy to, Tony. And I'm going to share real quick a website that farmers can go to get educated on this situation and how it's impacting them personally, and more importantly, have a voice. And that site is called StandWithUSFarmers.com. Has a wealth of information. But the Department of Commerce made a final decision to impose a duty of 19.97% on Moroccan phosphate fertilizer April 2021. OCP, we're appealing this very vigorously for the unfounded result, and we're committed to the U.S. farmer to ensure there's reliable, consistent supply. Today in the United States, there's only four producers that produce phosphates. And that production has declined over the last 20 to 25 years just because of availability of quality ore. So imports are a must for the U.S. farmer, and having that reliability and that consistent supply is very critical.
And I guess the next question here, and I think I know what the answer is as well, is when we start looking at how this is impacting agriculture and really focused at this point on the United States, what are we seeing?
Yeah, I think the impact, especially in the United States, is just the reliable supply, access to a product that is needed for the farmer to produce a high-quality yielding crop, and more importantly, for the ag sector in general. The ag retailers needing to be able to purchase and be able to have that reliability to provide for their end customer, the farmer, is critical. And if you take a look at where things are headed in the future, it's a must that the government take into consideration the factual information so that free trade flow can occur.
So maybe one of the other things we want to look at here is then what's ahead? What's down the road for us?
You know, that's a great question, Ken. You know, OCP is grateful to have support from representations of the American farmer, producer groups, retailers, member of Congress, and others have really stepped up to voice their concern to the U.S. government to allow the ability for the U.S. farmer to compete globally with the Brazilian farmers with reliable input supplies. And having reliability allows choices for the farmer. So once again, we're appealing this court case. We want the farmers to speak loud and clear for the need for reliability of supply because we're there for them. And we're here for the long term. And so we're committed to making sure that we can help supply the U.S. farmer with finished phosphates and for the longevity for decades to come.
Kevin, earlier you gave us a website where we can learn more information. Can you share that website with us one more time?
Absolutely. It is standwithusfarmers.com.
Kevin Kim is Chief Growth Officer with OCP North America in Minnesota and joins us on today's Agribusiness Report.
At Golden Harvest, our best skill is knowing how to listen. From our Gold Series soybean and game-changing corn portfolios to our expert insights housed in the Illuminate digital agronomy platform, everything we offer is an answer to what we've heard from you. This is how we listen.
Copyright 2021 Syngenta. The trademarks or service marks used herein are the property of a Syngenta Group company. All other trademarks are the property of their respective owners.
Success is attained by those who approach problems with a plan and a purpose. As an advocate for High Plains cotton growers since 1956, Plains Cotton Growers has been tackling the tough issues facing cotton growers through beneficial legislative and regulatory changes. An important part of PCG's success is through close working relationships with congressional representatives and federal regulatory staff, allowing cotton growers more time to devote to farming operations. From the halls of Congress to the dusty turnroads of the High Plains, cotton producers depend on Plains Cotton Growers.
It's the Agribusiness Report. Last month, Senate held a hearing on the rural quality of life, opportunities and challenges for rural care in the economy. One of those testifying, President of the American Action Foundation, Dr. Douglas Holtz-Eakin.
The first point is that as important as these federal programs are, neither they nor the rural economy in general can withstand poor overall macroeconomic performance. Now, at the moment, there are many good things about the U.S. economy. Gross domestic product, a measure of income, grew at an annualized rate of 7% in the fourth quarter of last year. It's very fast. We have an unemployment rate of 3.8%, not historically low, but outstanding. We have seen wages rise year over year by about 5.1%, and for non-supervisory production workers, the lower end of the income distribution, even faster, 6.7%. And at the moment, there are 1.7 job openings for every person looking for a job in America. So there's a lot of good news out there. But the Achilles heel of the U.S. economy is the inflation that has emerged over the past year. Year over year, it's 7.9%, which has outstripped all of those wage gains. And Some of the numbers are even more daunting. If you look at the bundle of food, energy, and shelter that is over 50% of the typical American's budget, inflation is at an 8.4% annual rate. That's the real pain that people are feeling on the ground. Individual prices are rising even faster. Energy overall is up 25.6%. Gasoline's up 38% in the past year. And so the overall environment is not a particularly hospitable one for Americans right now. My second point is this inflation didn't just happen. It's the result of policy decisions that were made. There are really two components, as I laid out in my written testimony. In part, it's reminiscent of the 1970s, where COVID has produced supply shocks, much like the oil price shocks of that era, and those costs have to get passed on to consumers. We have seen supply chain difficulties all across the globe, and especially in the United States. Labor market policies had a big impact on that. And the second part is simply excessive demand stimulus in the United States, which is really personified by the American Rescue Plan. The ARP passed last March was passed at a time when the U.S. economy was growing at 6.5%, and it was a well-known fact that we were expanding at an extremely rapid rate. So in terms of sort of macroeconomic stimulus, it's exactly the wrong time, in contrast to the CARES Act, which intervened when we really needed help in the second quarter of 2020. The ARP came at a time when the U.S. economy was expanding at a very rapid rate. It was also inappropriately large. My old shop, the Congressional Budget Office, does a calculation of the gap between actual activity in the U.S. economy, GDP, and the potential activity in the U.S. economy, potential GDP. That gap was a third of the American Rescue Plan. So there's no reason to solve a $600 billion problem with a $2 trillion stimulus. So it was too big, it was at the wrong time, and it has generated substantial inflation, which persists to this day, and which will take a long time to wring out of the economy. I listened to Chair Powell talk yesterday, and he expects that it will take 3 years for the Federal Reserve to return to the 2% target that it has had. The third point is that these are not the only policies that have contributed to the problems. There are energy-specific policies where the administration has not been particularly supportive of domestic production, and where its response to global oil price rises, both before and after the Russian invasion of Ukraine, are really quite small and ineffective. Dropping the moratorium on leases will do little. Tapping the SPR is more symbolic than real. And on the trade front, it's really hurt the rural economy. There have been some direct actions that it has taken to put tariffs on fertilizers, for example, which have raised costs for America's farmers. There has been its conclusion that the Phase One agreement with China is not working. But in response to making that conclusion, it did not drop the tariffs imposed on China. And as a result, U.S. farmers continue to face the retaliation that came from the imposition of those tariffs. And so there's an opportunity, which the administration has not taken, to improve the trade policies and help the rural economy in the United States. And as I elaborated in my written testimony, some of the specifics that are under consideration in the Build Back Better Act and other variations on those policies are either a macroeconomic danger of the type of the American Rescue Plan or poorly designed in their attempt to reach their target audiences.
And on the question of the Federal Reserve taking 3 years,
you could still attempt to hit a 3-year trajectory, but you'd have to raise rates more sharply and rapidly up front. That enhances the risk that you actually make the mistake of tipping the economy into a recession. That's a risk the Federal Reserve faces already. That would make it even larger.
It's the Agribusiness Report.
The Manitou New Ag MLT telehandlers have been tailor-made to handle the rigors of farm life. From the Agile 600 series to the Hefty 900 series, they are all named one of the most comfortable machines on the market, complete with interchangeable attachments, complete cab access, and total visibility. Manitou is the smart choice for your farm. Learn more at LivingstonMachinery.com and to find a location near you. Livingston Machinery, 24/7 service for your 24/7 operation.
Texas Corn Producers serves the state's corn farmers through both the Corn Board and the Association. The board is putting your checkoff dollars to work in research, promotion, and education to ensure producer profitability and market expansion. The member-supported association is the farmer's advocate in Austin and Washington, D.C. on issues from the Farm Bill, water and property rights, and more. Join the Texas Corn Producers Association today and get the latest news and information about Texas Corn Producers' efforts online at www.texascorn.org.
Welcome back. You're listening to the Agribusiness Report. Our special guest today, Kevin Kim, with OCP North America.
Why sorghum?
I think sorghum is a smart choice for growers because it just fits well with our limited moisture. There's a lot of improvement the last few years. It's just been a really good crop for us. It just works.
Sorghum has the ability over many crops to sit and wait on moisture, so it's a smart choice there.
Sorghum is a smart choice because it is flexible and tough. It's a good crop.
Rain or shine, sorghum is the smart choice.
Cotton growers, take out yield-robbing nematodes with an in-furrow application of Averland FC from Vive Crop Protection. A cost-effective solution, Averland FC fights early season nematodes for healthier seedlings and stronger plant stands. Averland FC is the only abamectin product registered in furrow for nematodes in cotton, and it's compatible with other crop inputs. To learn more, talk to your retailer or visit vivecrop.com. Averland FC is a restricted-use product. Read and follow label instructions.
It's the Agribusiness Report.
If anyone thinks that it's going to warm up anytime soon in the cold areas of the country, you might want to think again because it looks like it's going to stay pretty much on the cold side, much of the northern and then throughout the eastern half of the country. The greatest likelihood of cold conditions focused across the Midwest.
Brad Rippey is a meteorologist with USDA.
If you're looking for warm weather in late April and early May, it's going to be confined to southern Florida and then California, the Great Basin, and the Southwest. So very limited warmth as we head deeper into the young growing season with chilly conditions in many of the major productive areas. Now, in terms of precipitation from April 26th through the 2nd of May, near to below normal precipitation expected for much of the country, the exceptions across the northern tier from Washington State into western North Dakota should be on the wet side. Also, wetter than normal conditions expected along much of the Atlantic seaboard, especially from Georgia to Maine.